You know, we really live in a world that's full of competing beliefs and values and choices. And what you believe shapes how you live and ultimately who you become. But the good news is, God hasn't left us to figure it all out alone. No. In fact, today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we're going to continue our series, Reframing Your Worldview, where Rick Warren unpacks powerful truths from God's Word to help you see life clearly and live it with confidence and purpose. And now let's get right to Pastor Rick with part one of a message called, How Should I Live in This World?
Your worldview is the way you look at the world. It's the beliefs that you base all of your decisions on. Your worldview is how you see life, how you see death, how you see yourself. Your worldview includes how you see God and others and money and sex and the past and the present and the future and every area of life. Everybody has a worldview, whether they realize it or not. It's often unclarified. It's often unspoken, but everybody has a worldview. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a worldview. It is a way of seeing the world. And actually, there are seven major worldviews. We talked about that in the first week of the series. If you base your life on a faulty worldview, the results are disastrous. Because every idea has a consequence. Every idea has a consequence. Even the silly ideas of life waste your time, and that wastes your life. So there's a consequence to literally everything you do. Now, in the first week, we talked about how it's not enough just to be sincere. And we talked about a number of different questions that why does it matter why I believe or what I believe? You can be sincere and be sincerely wrong. If I have a glass up here and it's filled with what I think is water, and I'm sincere about it, I can drink it. If it's poison, it'll still kill me no matter how sincere I am. I made it on a false assumption. I based my decision on wrong or untrue data. So during this series, we looked at five different questions. The first question was, why does it matter what I believe? That's a major difference in your life. Then we looked the second week at how do I know what's true? And how do I know what's real? We looked at five signs of truth decay in our society and five ways that you can know the truth, that you can actually test it. Find out, is this really true? Is this really real? Does it square with reality? Then the third week we looked at where did I come from, which is a major implication in your worldview. The Bible says that God made it all, created everything. The Bible tells us that God thought of human beings first, but made us last, and that you were uniquely made. You're not an accident, and you're made in God's image. And God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Then the next week we looked at how did the world get so messed up? And the fact is we live on a broken planet. And we looked at the reason for that, which is our own sinful choices, and the result is we live in a broken planet where nothing works correctly. Nothing's perfect. No marriage, no person, no health. Nothing is perfect on this planet. We looked at why God is even allowing the broken planet to go on for a little bit longer and the rationale behind that. Then the next week we looked at what's the solution? What's the solution to all of the problems in the world? And we looked at a number of the major different solutions that have been offered that have all failed because honestly, the heart of the problem is a problem in the heart. It's inside me. And you can't change the world by making a law to change the world. That doesn't work. You have to change people on the inside. And we looked at how God changes us on the inside and how the five things that Jesus did on the cross are what changes us. And they're the answers to the problems in our world. Now, based on all that we looked at, I want to come back and do this last final week on so what? And then, in other words, how am I supposed to live in this world? Once I have a Christian worldview, how do I turn my creeds into deeds? How do I have what I know affect what I do? How do my beliefs change my behavior? In other words, what am I going to do about what I know? How should I live in this world? Well, fortunately, God sent us a model on how to live in this world. Look at the very first verse there on your outline. 1 John 2:6 says this. Anyone who says he is a Christian should live as Christ did. Well, duh. It's kind of obvious. And yet we don't do it. We call ourselves followers of Christ. We call ourselves believers. We call ourselves Christians. But we don't always live the way Jesus did. Now, the big question then is, well, if I'm to be in the family of God, I'm to live as Jesus Christ did. How do you do that? What does it mean to live as Jesus did? Well, if you've ever wondered that question, you picked a good week to come to church. Because I, this week, went through everything written about Jesus Christ in the Bible, read it all, read every word that Jesus has said that's recorded, and summarized it for you tonight. It is summarized in 10 mega truths, 10 mega themes, 10 values. So what I'm going to give you tonight is cliff notes on the life of Jesus Christ. This is the 10 things that Jesus did in his life that he wants you to do in your life, which is how you should live in this world. And we're going to look at these 10 truths, these 10 values. And as we look at them, I think you'll probably be amazed, just like I was, at how counterculture they are, how opposite of what the world says Jesus says to do. Jesus Christ is the perfect model for living. And he not only showed us how to do it, he gave us specific instructions. One of the things that's unique about tonight's message is that every single verse on your outline is a direct quote from Jesus. If you had a red letter edition of the Bible where all the words of Jesus in red, this entire outline would be in red because they're all verses basically from Jesus Christ on what it means to live. Now, how do I learn to live like Jesus Christ? Well, you have to build certain values in your life, and here they are. Number one, to live like Jesus means to live with discernment. To live with discernment. Now, what that means is you evaluate things. You test things. You are discerning. You don't just automatically accept what somebody tells you. You check it out. You don't automatically accept the world's values. You're not sucked in by popular culture. And just because it's mentioned on some talk show or it's on the cover of People magazine or people think it's hip or cool or, you know, whatever, that it's okay. No, you check it out. You're discerning. You evaluate everything. And you ask things like, is this the truth? Does this square with reality? Is it God's worldview? Or is it just the most passing fad? Paul once says in the book of Romans, he says, don't become so comfortable with your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He says, I want you to think about the kind of life you're living. You need to be discerning. Now notice here, Jesus in John chapter 7 says this. Don't be nitpickers, but use your head and heart to discern what is right, to test what is authentically true. Now he's saying here, I don't want you to be a cynic. I don't want you to be a skeptic. I don't want you to be a nitpicker, a legalistic crank who runs around talking about how everything's awful in the world. I don't want you just criticizing everything, but he says, I do expect you to use your brain. God gave you a mind, and you are to use it, and you are to be discerning, and not just automatically believe everything that you hear or see or experience in life. He said, don't be a nitpicker, don't be a cynic, but use your mind. Let me give you an assignment. Sometime I want you to go back and read through the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the books that tell the most about Jesus. And as you read those Gospels, find out how many times Jesus uses the phrase, watch out. It's one of his favorite phrases. Jesus says, watch out. And I'm not going to spoil all the fun for you, but he tells you a number of things to watch out for. For instance, did you know that Jesus says, watch out for people who can take you into court? Just one of the things he says to watch out for. And if you watch out for the things Jesus says to watch out for, you're going to be a lot wiser. Now, depending on your translation, it may say, beware. It may say, be careful. It may say, guard yourself. But he's just saying, you need to be discerning. You don't just let things flow into your mind. Now, the problem is, we are bombarded now by media. you know, radio, television, internet, and iPods, and, you know, on and on and on. We've got media around us, billboards and movies, and everything is constantly hitting us. And after a while, you kind of let your guard down and you start letting stuff into your mind that you wouldn't even agree with, that you know is wrong. And you just let it in because there's so much media. For instance, have you ever found yourself singing a song with words that are the exact opposite of your values? It's got a catchy tune, and you're going, well, I want to get drunk and sleep around tonight. I go, well, I'm a pastor. I probably shouldn't be singing that. You know, it's like got a catchy tune, and what's happening? Somebody's putting their worldview in my mind because it's got a catchy tune. Or you know, today we have a thing called entertainment. And I just wonder what's so entertaining about it. A lot of entertainment is watching people do stuff that you know is wrong, and you'd never do it yourself. You know, go sleep around with somebody else's husband or wife, or, you know, get drunk and shoot up a bunch of people. Or we watch stuff all the time that you would never do yourself and call it entertainment. And so Jesus just says, you just need to be discerning and know what you're allowing in your mind. I mean, let's just take a little survey here of intelligence. How many of you believe everything you read in the newspaper? Yeah, I knew you were smart. How many of you believe everything you read in magazines, you hear on the radio, you watch on the TV, and you see it in movies? Yeah. How many of you would say, I believe everything God says is true? Okay. Here's the question. Why do we spend more time listening, watching, and reading something we don't believe than something we do? Next point. I mean, you got it, right? I don't have to drill it in, right? Get it? Good. Live with discernment. The Bible says this. Look at that next verse. The Bible says, make sure that the light you think you have is not really darkness. See, a lot of times you may be thinking, well, I'm doing the right thing here, but you may be operating off the world's value system that's so been programmed into your mind through radio, television, movies, and books, you're brainwashed. And you just automatically think, well, it's the right way to do it. And so he says, make sure that the light you think you have is not really darkness. Be discerning. Second thing, if you're going to live like Jesus Christ, you got to learn to live with integrity. Live with integrity. Now, what is integrity? Most people do not understand this word. In fact, if you ask them to give you a synonym, they'd say, well, integrity means being honest. It means telling the truth. Well, yeah, that's part of it. Telling the truth is a part of integrity. But integrity means a whole lot more than being honest. What integrity means is wholeness. Wholeness. I mean, it's all together. It comes from the word integral, integrated, integer or integer, a one unit in mathematics. It means it's all the whole. It's the opposite of compartmentalizing your life. What integrated or integrity means is your life is all the same. That you don't act one way with one group of people. Like, this is how I act at church, and this is how I act with my, you know, golfing buddies. This is how I act at work, and this is how I act at home, and this is how I act over here when nobody knows it's me. And you wear different masks, and you fake it, and you pretend, and you play roles, and you're a hypocrite. That is a lack of integrity. It's when you segment your life. You know, you can be honest and still lack integrity. Why? Because you could be an honest in one area and have another area of your life you're in total denial about that's all messed up. And just because you're honest in one area doesn't mean you have integrity, because that's involving every area of your life. You don't compartmentalize your life. You remember a few months ago we talked about the Titanic myth. That before the Titanic, all of the boats made had one integrated hull. They were all, you know, one unit. And so that if a boat our ship ran into an iceberg. It knocked a hole in it. The water came in and it sunk the ship. So the Titanic was supposedly unsinkable because they got this idea, we'll just compartmentalize the hull and we'll put it into segments. And therefore, if the ship happened to run into an iceberg, it could theoretically take on water in a certain number of compartments, but it wouldn't sink the ship. Now, that sounds logical. But friends, a hole in the boat is a hole in the boat is a hole in the boat. It's going to sink eventually. It's like, let's say you and I are in a rowboat out fishing, and I pull out, you know, a drill at my end, and I start drilling a hole in the boat. You go, what are you doing? I said, well, it's my end of the boat. I'm not hurting you. You know, this is not your, you know, this is just my own thing. He's like, he's going to sink the whole boat. A hole in the boat's going to sink the boat. And you may be saying, well, I'm drilling a hole right now, but it's not going to sink my family, or it's not going to sink my business. It's just one little segment of my life. You are dead wrong. And when you compartmentalize your life into, you know, this is my reading life, and this is my secret life, and this is my business life, you are setting yourself up for a lack of integrity because it's not all integrated. Now, it's not easy to live a life of integrity today because everything in society teaches us to put our lives in segments, PTA over here and this over there and this over here. I saw it just this week in two very extremes. I got up at 4:45 in the morning to fly up to San Francisco, got back at midnight that night. I had meetings with five different groups of CEOs in the city of San Francisco. A bunch of tech CEOs from the Silicon Valley and a bunch of financial CEOs and different groups like that. But before I went and had those meetings with the CEOs, I went over to San Quentin to speak to the prisoners and to celebrate the completion of the first 40 days of purpose at San Quentin Prison. And the inmates there that had completed it, we, you know, signed all their books and, you know, had a great time with them. And I met with the warden, and they've allowed 40 days of purpose will be repeated every quarter, four times a year in San Quentin. 5,000 prisoners, over 600 on death row. And we're going to do 40 days of purpose there, and they are going to allow a celebrate recovery into San Quentin prison. So it's a terrific thing. So I'm over here with, you know, these convicts. And then I finish that, speaking to them, and I go over to meet with CEOs. And you know what I discovered? It doesn't matter whether you're a CEO or a convict. You still have to struggle with integrity. Doesn't matter if you're a professional or a prisoner, or you're an investor or you're an inmate. You still got to struggle with this issue of bringing all your life into whole. Now, let me be clear. Integrity is not perfection. If you have to be perfect to have integrity, who's going to have it? Nobody. Because there are no perfect people on this planet. Nothing's perfect on earth. So you don't have to be perfect to have integrity. You just have to be exactly what you appear to be. That the way I talk with you is the way I talk with my kids. And the way I talk with my kids is the way I talk with my friends. And the way I talk with my friends is the way I talk with strangers. And I don't act different ways with different groups of people. You know, what you see is what you get. Now, here's what the Bible says. Jesus said in Luke 11:36, if you are filled with light, in other words, you're not hiding anything, with no dark parts, that means there are no corners of your life, no little segments that you said, okay, God, you can have every area of my life except this area, my pornography, or my drug addiction, or my little relationship, or whatever. If you are filled with light with no dark parts, then your whole life, circle that, whole life will be radiant. What's he saying there? The result of integrity is illumination. He says, when you have integrity, you shine like a star in a dark world. And that's why God wants us to live with integrity. Look at the next verse. Jesus said, you are the world's salt to make it tolerable. And if you lose your flavor, what will happen to the world? God says Christians are to be salt in the world. Did you know there are two primary purposes for salt? One is as a preservative. It keeps things from rotting. That's why they put it on meat, salt, pork, and jerky and stuff. Keeps the meat from rotting. And the other is it's for seasoning. Makes it taste better. Why does God leave Christians in the world once they become saved. Why didn't he just take them on to heaven? He leaves us here on this planet to be preservative so the world doesn't spoil, it doesn't go rotten, and he leaves us here for seasoning, to make it taste better. And the only way you can do that is if you have integrity.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. I'm wondering, are you looking for a meaningful way to share God's love with the children in your life? Whether it's your kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, or the little ones in your neighborhood, God's Great Love for You by best-selling author Rick Warren is the perfect gift to remind them how deeply they are loved. This is a beautifully illustrated book that takes children on a gentle, whimsical journey to discover that no matter where they go, God's love is always with them, perfect, endless, and never out of reach. With words that kids can understand and a message their hearts will never forget, God's Great Love for You is a powerful way to plant truth and hope in young lives. Every single child deserves to know just how much they are loved by God. So be sure to request a copy of God's Great Love for You today when you give a gift to help Daily Hope share the love of God to people all around the world. That's our way of saying thanks. Just go to PastorRick.com or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. That's PastorRick.com and that's got two R's in the middle, or just text the word HOPE to 70309. And we thank you so much for your support. It means so much to us at Daily Hope. We hope you'll join us next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our Daily Hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.